Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi ta'ala wabarakatuh. Welcome to Chat Bersama Follower. My name is Aiman Azlan. Today we have a follower from Singapore. Brother Ayad. Let's bring him in.
Assalamualaikum Ayad. Assalam. Hi. Good to see you again after so long.
Oh yeah, it's been very, very, very long. When did we first meet? Do you remember? Is it 2018? 19, wow.
It was with Yoda, Yoda Akam. Yes, you came to Singapore.
Yes, I was there for an event by Yoda. Yoda stands for, what does it stand
youth
for?
Youth of Darul Akam.
Ah, okay. One of the youth Muslim organization in Singapore. Are you still with Yoda?
Not really, but right now I'm mostly involved with Converse Central. So it's more like, similar to what Yoda does, but in a way that we deal with like a podcast recording and also as well as a community of Muslim converts and also born Muslims to in order to like have inclusivity together in terms of learning Islam together, having fun together.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, so as you can see, I'm still traveling. This is another hotel. The lighting is not good in this hotel. It's kind of like this moody, kind of like atmosphere. I didn't expect it to be like this.
But match my shirt, though.
kind of, yes. So let's get to it. We have half an hour. Could you give us a short introduction about yourself, Iyad?
Okay, sure. Okay, my name is Ban Iyad. Of course, I'm from Singapore, as quoted by Amma Aslan. And I'm 26 years old, quarter of a century plus one. And
26.
Yeah, I'm just a young performing artist trying to find gigs to perform in theatre and spoken word, but also at the same time trying to know how to go about with adulting, which I'm still struggling to this very day, especially being a working adult. But also at the same time, I try to be every volunteer for different organizations like Converse Central and a few other organizations, and also to enjoy life as I can. And that's for myself. And also another fun fact about me, I also run a new business called Bunny Beverages, so I sell drinks.
Ooh, I didn't know that. What kind of drink?
I sell bandung, I sell lemonade, and there's this drink called the Galaxy Drink. So it's how do you call the butterfly pea flower tea in Malay? I know you call it in Malay.
I don't know.
It's the flower used in nasi lemak. I know it.
It makes there's it a flower in nasi lemak.
No. No, it makes the rice blue.
Bunga telang.
I think so. I don't know. But it's the flower tea that makes
probably
the lemon juice
the audience
inside.
No.
Yes.
Oh, that's great, man. How long have you been doing the beverage business?
It's been almost a month plus. It's a new home-based business that I have, and it all started when people enjoyed the bundle that I made, and then the fact that, why you should launch a new business? They're I don't know. And then the fact that I did it anyway, I surprised myself that I did it anyway, and then people really bought it, especially when I tried to make bundle. I made two types of bundle. I made one bundle that has evaporated milk, which is the classic recipe, then one with oat milk.
Bandung oat milk?
Yes, I'm not serious. I'm serious because I know I have friends who are lactose intolerant, so I try to cater to these people, and people really enjoyed it.
But I have to try it one day.
Inshallah.
Well, I've had coffee with oat milk, but I haven't had Bandung oat milk.
Oat latte? Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah. Latte with oat milk instead of regular milk. So
yeah.
Okay, cool. What are we talking about tonight?
I thought we can talk about enjoying singlehood while, you have peers around you that you have gotten married or something. And then the fact that people are asking you, when are you going to get married or something? I'm that's what I thought we can talk about. Because I noticed that you've been posting a lot of content about marriage and jodo. I mean, I've been seeing on your Telegram channel and wow.
That is my focus right now. Yes, I just finished my master's in counseling, and I, inshallah, pretty soon, will try to get my licensing in counseling so that I could become a licensed counselor, focusing on marriage and also family. So that's why I'm focusing on that at the moment. So kind of like my career is now intentionally going that direction. But yeah, talking about enjoying singlehood, but then you feel, how do you feel when you see like your friends getting married and all, and people asking you about when are you going to get married? Do you feel, tell me what you feel about it.
Like, okay, there's the mix of emotions, but mostly like happy for them that they've got the right partner for them. But then there are times when I feel a bit like envy, like, oh, they have such a good girl, they have a good partner. And then there are times when I feel like a bit of, like, you know, loss, because I cannot spend time with them as much as how it was. But then, because, you know, when you're single, you have a lot of time to yourself. But then when you're married, you need to spend all that time with your wife. I mean, no offense to like, these people.
I get what you mean. I get what you mean. I was a single man. I get what you mean. So definitely. So there's a dilemma there, because number one, on one hand, you want to enjoy your singlehood now, but on the other hand, you still have that desire to want a partner. Am I right? Because you feel jealous, right? You feel jealous, which indicates that you have the desire to get married. Because if you don't want that thing, then there's kind of like, doesn't make sense to feel jealous about it, because you don't want that thing. So which means that you do have the desire to get married, but at the same time, you're not ready to commit to that relationship yet. You want to enjoy your single life, right?
Yes. I mean, I do recall one incident when one of my best friends got married, and I did the most silliest thing I ever did. So at the point of time after his marriage, his wedding, when they both went for the honeymoon, I straight up asked the girl that I like, hey, let's be like boyfriend and girlfriend. But then it didn't turn out well. They're like, okay, let's. Yeah, I mean,
okay.
I wouldn't say I'm like really rejected.
You approached the girl, it didn't work out. So
that's like, okay. I somewhat like voice memo to this girl, and then like, it's a bit embarrassing. But at the time, like, the fact that the girl responded to me that she's not ready. Yeah, okay, I just accepted it is. I mean, her response is kind of like kind, and at the time, like, she can say that she's not ready to commit to this, which I completely understand. And yeah, when that all of that happened, I'm like, yeah, it's like, okay, it's gonna be a bit awkward, because the fact that this girl is actually within the a friend, and then like, it's like, okay, I do not know how to go about like being friends with her, but just not be doing so awkward around this person. But thankfully, alhamdulillah, things has been easy for me after that. And then like, alhamdulillah, we're cool. We're just like chilling around. Yeah. You know?
Right. So I think we have to settle one issue first. Okay.
Okay.
Right now, which one would be your priority? Live a single life or find a partner? You have to choose one.
Right now is fixing, getting my life right, because I've been having like a struggle, you know, having a stable job, because I've been jumping jobs here and there. It's like, of course, that's not giving like much confidence to my future spouse to be. And I admit that I'm not that perfect, as much as my other friends who actually got their own spouses and all this, even though one of them like just finished school doing marriage. I'm like, wow, that was really unexpected. I mean, I honor these people who actually got their marriage to work, and I'm just glad the dua has been answered in a way that they are able to make it work, and they see that they're able to like stick together. But for me,
what about you? Yeah.
Having to see myself that I tried asking someone out, but it didn't work out. Okay, I just accept the result. But then having the idea that I try to, like, you know, being able to be that eligible bachelor to the right judo, I like tell myself that, yeah, you need to be relaxed. But then there are times where I like, you need to get married. How long are you going to like, enjoy this? Do you think it's okay to like be single for much longer, but then other people are getting married like younger than you or something. I mean, I had to tell myself that I shouldn't be like comparing with other people because like it's gonna make myself very miserable, but it's not like I had to tell myself that the right children will come at the right time. I mean, this is all the comes down to the divine decree. So like I don't know, I just have a hard time reminding myself every day that the time will come at the right time for everything. I mean, one instance when I actually believe in that is when I just lost my job like recently, and then I
Right.
just got a new
Oh,
job just
wow.
a few hours later, and I'm like, wow, okay, it came at the right time, alhamdulillah.
Good for you. Good for you. So,
I
if I got
believe
your
if I were to
story,
relate to this, I thought you
yeah.
can relate to finding the jodoh. It'll come when the time is right.
Yes. So you basically have the right, I would say, mindset. So you're, but you're struggling in figuring things out. You know that you shouldn't compare. You know that eventually you're going to have to think about getting married. But I think what you're lacking is a structure and a plan, because
Yeah, it's still fluid to this day.
it's still fluid. Yeah, I understand, going with the flow, just keep it cool, relax, chill. It's calming to the mind to have that kind of dialogue. I'm just chilling, I'm just going with the flow. But when you put that against reality, you start to see that that's not a good approach to dealing with life. Do you see that?
I
Right?
mean,
So
I
you have
hope
this kind of
I
like self-soothing mechanism where you say to yourself, it's all right, so I'm chilling, I'm relaxing. You use the word relaxing, and I'm relaxing, enjoying my single life, da, 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 which is fine on the surface, but if that becomes your approach to life, it's not fine. Why? Because you have this desire inside of you, you want a partner. I mean, it's obvious you want a partner, but then you don't have a structure or a plan to prepare yourself to become that eligible bachelor you talk about. Now, you mentioned one factor, and that is your job, have a stable job, but that's just one of many, right? It's just one of many. So it's not just that that you need to think about. You also need to think about in terms of your knowledge seeking, in terms of your emotional control, in terms of your maturity, in terms of your time management, right? Because you mentioned that, well, once I got married, I have to spend time with my wife, right? Which is true. That is true. You have to spend time with your wife, but you want to spend time with your wife, right? That's the kind of thing when you decide to get married, you also decide to let go, or rather to give a very like extreme image, just to bring the point home. Yeah. When you get married, your single self dies. Right? And I mean that. I mean that. Meaning that you purposefully, intentionally bury that part of you. And you just, have like a proper burial situation, mentally speaking, and just think to yourself, this is my past. Okay, I'm just letting it go and letting it go for good. Because once I cross the threshold into being a husband, being a partner to somebody else, then I can't think like a single man anymore. And that is
Just like
something you do by
janazah
choice. Yeah, janazah to your single self, right?
already.
It's one of the things, it's one of the things, that's why the symbolism, you've read my letter, right? The letter from single Ayman to married Ayman.
Not really.
Not familiar? It's okay. Don't worry about it. You can Google it later. So I wrote
Okay.
a letter from single Ayman to married Ayman. In a way, that's a symbolism that I am saying goodbye to the single Ayman, because I know that guy is gone.
Oh dear.
Right? But it's not bad news yet. I want to do it. That's the thing. I want to do it. I want to say goodbye to that guy. Because now I'm entering into a new phase of my life, being a husband. I'm not a single guy anymore. And I do that openly with joy, with open arms, because I want to upgrade myself to that level, right? But to get to that point yet, you need to prepare yourself. You know, at this point in time, what I did when I was single, early 20s, you know, late teens, what I did was I do a lot of knowledge seeking, because I have time, you know, as a single man, I have time, do a lot of knowledge seeking. I pick my friends very, very carefully. I don't hang around everybody. I pick my friends very carefully. I pick the friends who will help me, bring me closer to Allah in a way. I pick those kind of friends in my early 20s. I hang around with them. They go somewhere. I know they're not going to go anywhere that's bad. So I hang out with them. And I also help them become a better person. So it's like a two-way relationship thing. So that's kind of what I did in my early 20s. And that built me up to the point where when I want to let go of my single self, I'm ready to do that. I was ready. I was ready to say goodbye to my single self. I want to. Okay? And that was me when I was 23, when I say goodbye to my single self. 23.
Wait, you got married at that young age?
It's young to you, but to me, it's just nice.
Eh? I thought you look like you're 30 years old.
I am 30. I'm 30 now, but I got married 23.
Eh?
By the time I'm 26, I already have a son.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I remember.
Yeah. So 23 is when I got married. But yeah, we have to put things into context. I started way earlier. Like, you're 26. You just want to start now. I started when I was 18.
What?
That yeah.
Early, wow.
When the intention comes, when the niyat comes, when the determination comes, I was 18. And I start there. You know, gaining knowledge, speaking with wise people, making sure my friends, group of friends were conducive to my spiritual and personal growth. You know, I set my environment up so that it helps me grow myself to become the man that I want to be when it's time for me to accept somebody as my wife. Right? So you can use that as a template. Yeah. So right now you can have like audit your social environment to see, are you in a social environment where you're gaining knowledge, you're upgrading yourself spiritually, emotionally, you're picking your friends properly, friends who help you be closer to Allah and not further away from Allah. So you can do an audit now. Okay? And you can this is within your control. Yeah. It's definitely within your control. You can design your social life to be, in a way, helping you to become the man you want to be when it's time for you to become a husband, right? Do you have that picture in your mind, the kind of man you want to be before you become somebody's husband? Like, even a vague picture pun tak apa lah.
Yes, I do. I see myself as a fit person, which I believe is still a work in progress. I do see myself as a person who is able to have a permanent job, because all this while I've been having like contract job, temporary job. I never had like a permanent job. I never had a job that lasted for like more than 1 or 2 years. And I do see myself in a way that I am able to be having ample savings, just so that I can provide not just for myself, but also for the wife and the family and the in-law. Because I know that when you marry someone else, you're also marrying the family itself. Yeah, you have to provide for the family. Like, it's is this term called
nafkah?
Wait,
you provide for her family?
Yeah, the in-law. Yeah.
You provide for the in-law?
I mean, what do you mean?
You said you provide for your wife, yeah, but you also provide for the in-law?
Like, if needed, like, you know, at least see the parents. What, is it wrong or something?
No, it's just weird.
How's it weird?
Because Nafkah is only for your wife.
Oh, okay. Now I got it clear. Okay, yeah, wife
Your
and the
duty
children.
as a husband is to provide for your wife.
True, yes.
I mean, if you want to help out the in-laws, that's fine, but it's not considered as nafkah. So it's not like,
Yeah, I need to get it clear. I'm still learning.
it's not incumbent upon you. You understand? It's not like your responsibility to provide money for either your family, like your original family, or her family. Once you get married, your main responsibility is to provide for your wife. You do understand that, right?
Yeah,
This
I
is the
mean,
part
I
where I
got a bit
say
mixed
the
up.
knowledge part. Yep,
Yeah.
it's fine. This is the knowledge part that I talk about. When you seek knowledge, you get clarity about your duties. Right? You get clarity about your duties. And when you get clarity about your duties, what are my responsibilities? Then you become clear about what do I need to prepare to carry those responsibilities. You get what I mean?
Yes, I do get what you mean.
Right.
And about the
But
part when you
so
sit.
far,
Sorry, you can go ahead.
so far you mentioned two things that I can summarize. You just mentioned about physical fitness and money. Those are the only preparation for marriage.
I believe there's more, like in a way that you're still knowledgeable, but not very knowledgeable. You're still learning. At least you have the knowledge of like going about leading the prayer and also going about being a better Muslim every day. Like, and much as I cannot admit that I'm still like a learned person, I can still admit that I'm still trying to be a better Muslim every day. And this is something I want to inhibit, not just being in a single as a single Muslim, but also as a married Muslim also. Like, tell yourself to
Right.
improve yourself every day. And like it's a having that right spiritual mindset in a way that you're still learning every day. You're still having that drive to learn about Islam and still having that drive to know how to be a better husband every day to your wife. Because nobody's perfect, let's be honest here. I mean, as much as I want to keep on following like Prophet, you can't follow like everything he does. You can still try to do it. Because if I've learned from the past is the religious classes I've been learning. Moderation is better than perfection. So,
That's nice. I like it. I like it, right? Basically, you pace yourself. Yeah, right? It's not about doing everything at once, because once you do everything at once, you end up not doing anything at all because it's too much for any one individual to do. So yeah, growth is lifelong. It's not gonna be like once I got married, I stopped growing. No. But you need to set a goal of how much growth is adequate for me to get married. And again, this is within your control. Like you can set certain specific goals, like for example, like prayer. You mentioned prayer, right? I need to prepare myself so that I can be an imam. You can start being an imam to your family now. You can ask your father, can I be the imam this time? Sure, you can be the imam. You try. You practice yourself to be the imam. With your friends, you can be the imam, right? Or reading the Quran, you can check whether my reading is adequate or not. Am I reading at a nice pace? The tajweed, is it correct or not? Your fasting, your shahada, do you understand your shahada, the philosophy behind it, right? And also your zakat. These are basic stuff. Talk about the basic stuff, right? Hajj, put it in your planning. Maybe not now, but put it in your planning for Hajj, right? You have your own, like in Malaysia, we have Tabung Haji, where you have your own like an account specifically for Hajj. That we have it in Malaysia. For Singapore, you can have like a bank account for Hajj, like a savings account or whatever lah, that you can have in Singapore for you to put your money in there. And let it grow for you to spend for Hajj. You get what I mean?
yeah, I just want to clarify that Malaysia part. So you guys have a tabung Hajj, like an account set aside for Hajj. Wow.
Yeah, Tabung Haji. We have it in
Wow, I never
Malaysia
heard.
for many, many years now, right? So you
Wow, I
can
never
open
heard.
an account as soon as you're born, basically. You can open an account and you put your money in there, and when it's like there's a system, complicated, I don't want to talk about but there's a system where when you put your money in Tabung Haji, you also have your you put your name in line for Hajj. So there's, we call giliran lah. So you have your name in line for Hajj, so you know when you can go for Hajj. Like for example, when I opened my account, well, not my account, an account for my son, his time for Hajj is about 2066 or something like that. Because the government has that list according to like when you register for Hajj. It's a system.
Same in Singapore. Yeah, because in Singapore, it's like you register within the MUIS register. So, like, it'll take like years, like what you say. And the fact that it's somewhat familiar, but we do have like bank accounts, sadly. We have to come up with our own like civil account just to set aside for that. It's right. Just that you try to be mindful about the interest.
Have you registered yourself?
Not yet. But I do intend to go to Umrah. Soon, but not so soon yet.
It's okay. You pace yourself. So for the Hajj thing, it's like this 20, put it like a 10-year goal ahead, right? You register yourself in MUIS, you know, for your 10-year goal, you go for Hajj. I don't recommend you go for Hajj when you like 60, 70 years old. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying that. I'm saying there's a great advantage of going to Hajj when you're young. Not only because like you're fit for all the Hajj rituals, right? But you can help other Hajj participants in your batch, because many of them are old. Right? And they need help with you know, tawaf, sa'i, and all those things. And having you as a young person there is very helpful. I know, because I've been there. I have experienced it. And it's nice being the person that you can help all these, you know, elders that you have around you. So it's like the added value to your Hajj experience, right? So I went for Hajj when I was 27.
Oh, that's after you got married and after you got your kid, right?
Yes. I got married 2013. My first born 2015. 2017 we went for Hajj. But I have to credit my father, because he registered me for Hajj very early.
Wow.
I got to go early. Right. So that, again, we're talking about the context here is about preparing yourself for that experience, right? So you can control these things. It's just that you just need to have a structure yet. You can't just go with the flow with these things. Have a structure, have a plan, have goals. It doesn't matter if you reach the goal or not, but having the structure helps, right? Having the structure helps. And then, yeah, about the money part and all those things, having a permanent job. By the way, I never had a permanent job, just to let you know. Yeah, oh. I have a business. A business is not a permanent job. I never had a permanent job. Never.
Wow. Same
because
here.
The measurement that I determine for myself is not in having a permanent job. It is in having a good enough money management to support yourself and your family. Which means what? Practically, it means I know how to get money in a halal way. I know how to spend money in a good way. That's like, if I were to boil it down to its most basic part, what money management means for me is knowing how to get money and knowing how to spend it, right? And that also involves like savings and all those stuff.
So it doesn't necessarily mean that I need like a permanent job to like be financially stable in a way to support myself and the family and knowing how to spend the money.
I mean, having a permanent job is great. Let me just be clear. But you don't have to. But what you do have to have is enough money to support yourself and your family, and the financial literacy, let's call that financial literacy, to manage your money well. That's all you need. That's what you actually need. Because even if you have a permanent job, let's go further. If you have $1 million, let's say,
yeah,
but you, so, but you don't know how to manage it well, you're going to lose it in a day or two.
Yeah.
So it's not about the amount of money, because I know a lot of guys are so fixed on the amount of money, they forget the more important part, and that is how to manage it. In terms of, okay, how much money is enough? How much money, I know Singapore is quite high cost of living. I understand that. But you can also have this a little bit of flexibility depending on where you live, correct?
Mm.
Right? Certain areas in Singapore is much higher than the other areas. Similarly, in Malaysia, if you live in KL, what's enough in KL is different than when you live in Perlis. That's why I live in Perlis. That's where I live. I don't live in KL. Perlis is much more lower cost. Yeah, all these things is something you can plan for. Get what I mean?
I mean, I do notice that.
Yeah. For you,
I mean, I do notice this because I have a house in JB, and then I notice how much cheaper it is to be like spending on things there compared to Singapore. I'm like, wow, how is it like so affordable here? But the fact that you tell me about the KL thing, really, it's more expensive than the other states.
KL is probably one of the highest. I mean, in Malaysia context, yeah, in Malaysia context, I would say Penang, KL, and JB, high.
Even JB,
they are major cities.
Oh yeah, true.
Because when you compare Singapore to JB, yeah, definitely JB is much cheaper for you. You understand? Because when you compare Singapore with JB, but if you compare JB with where I am right now, where I live in Perlis, JB is much more expensive.
Oh,
but the point being, it's Malaysia thing. But the point being is that when you talk about how much money you need, there's no one answer for that. That's my point. Mm. So when you prepare yourself for marriage, don't have this arbitrary number in your head. That's like this magical number. If I have that, everything will be like adequate. No. You don't aim for a magical number. You aim for enough. But enough is subjective. So you have to figure that out. What will be enough for you and your future spouse? Right? You understand?
Right.
And about financial stability, let's talk about that for a moment. There's no such thing about financial stability to get married.
Okay.
Why do I say that? Because if you aim for financial stability, you're going to get married when you're old. Because, you know, on average, that's when your financial is stable, provided that you manage your money well in your early years. Because that's when you're stable.
Right.
What's financial stability, Ian? What's financial stability? What is it?
Like, you're able to have like active income and passive income, and then also say them like you have that money keep on growing in a way. Like, for instance, we have in Singapore is CPF, like compulsory savings through working. And I don't know if that applies in Malaysia, but the fact that I have that money to be used for my housing and also like retirement, that somewhat makes it more stable in a way of like going about with the.
Yeah, and you're 26, you don't have those things. So when will you have those things? Let me know. When? When? 30? Probably not. 40? Probably not. Like, my parents have stable financial stability, meaning that they are retired, right? They have benefits because they've been working for so long, right?
Mm,
and they have money coming in every month.
Their
right?
Retirement.
For retirement. Yeah. For retirement. So they don't have to work another day in their life anymore. They are financially stable. At what? At 56 to 60 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, that's when you retire. So this idea of, I have to have financial stability first before I get married is not realistic at all. What you need is financial literacy. not financial stability. Okay, go for financial literacy. That's something you can control. How? Read books, attend classes, have a mentor, somebody that can teach you about money, know how to get money, know how to save money, know how to invest, and know how to spend properly. Those things you need to have before you get married, right? And once you decide to get married, you need to have enough to support you and your partner. And that's something that, you know, again, subjective, depending on where do you want to live, right? You want to live in a cheap flat? You want to live in a nice house? I mean, it's different for different situations. I started with a basic salary. That's how I started. Maybe 1,500, 2,000 ringgit per month. That's how I started. Which is nothing in Singapore, I know.
No, I'm not saying. I'm not saying that, no.
It's all right. I'm just kidding. But just to give you an idea, you know, the notion that you have to have financial stability before you get married is not realistic. You need to have financial literacy, good financial management, enough money to support yourself and your partner to live comfortably, not luxuriously, of course, comfortably. And then you and your partner together plan yourself on how to grow your wealth together.
So in a way, like point. Improving their rumah tangga. I heard this Malay term a lot of times. Is that the
right term? Rumah tangga, yeah. Household.
Ah.
Right? Because once you get married, I'm not saying like you share money together all the time. Obviously, we understand the husband's money is the wife's money, but the wife's money is the wife's money. I mean, that's it. That's what Islam teaches us. That's why responsibilities are different in the household. Just that's another thing you need to seek knowledge for. But when it talks to when you talk about, you know, the effort to increase wealth, it could be a team effort, right? Like, for example, how I can do my job well really depends on whether my wife supports me.
Oh.
Right? Support me with, you know, taking care of the kids, support me in terms of giving me motivation. So we work together. But the higher my income is, it's going to benefit the family. All right? So you create that ecosystem within your family where you can increase your wealth over time. It's not, I don't mean like if you get married with a basic salary that you're going to stay there forever. No, you grow, right? And studies have shown like married people on average have higher income than single people for for same levels. I'm talking about same levels. One of the explanation of that is when you get married, like, you know, just think about your mindset, right? When you get married, you think about, oh, I have to support my wife. You know what I mean? And if you have a child, you think about, oh, I have to raise this child. So you work harder, you work longer, and you don't mind working longer and harder because you have something to work for, someone to work for. Exactly. So responsibilities, especially as a man, it's really helpful in driving us forward because that's what fuels us as men, responsibility. It fuels us knowing that I'm here, I'm out here working because I'm bringing home money for my family. It's really, it's a joy for a man to provide for the family, you know, to take care. And that's something you need to start thinking right now.
Right.
I mean, okay, for you, man, summarize, you have the Convert Central, you have Bunny Beverages, and you have your part-time job and all. You're doing well, you know. Don't cut yourself some slack. You're doing well. You're working hard to gain enough income for yourself. You just need to have, again, that structure is very important. You know, go for financial literacy. Learn about that. Learn about the basics of Islam that you need to work on. Like I said before, learn about how to communicate with people, you know, all this basic stuff. Audit your social circle, see who you're friends with. Are they helping you in your personal growth? And then, you know, once you figure all that out, you can have like a general idea of, you know, when you want to get married. You're 26 now, right? Do you have an idea when? I'm not saying this number is a magic number. It's not a magic number, but have that goal in mind. Do you have that?
Right. Because I'm just used to, like, you know, having like fixed numbers and certain, like, you know, having to like be proper and all this. But now that it's kind of like having to lower my expectations, but also at the same time making it more structured in a way that you're able to have enough money for yourself, having to boost up your financial literacy skills and being able to like find the right people to mix around with, which alhamdulillah I have with Commerce Central and also with like friends everywhere else. Like, I'm not saying the friends that I stop hanging out with are like really bad or something. It's just that I just hope for the best for them. I hope they can at least bring benefit to me in the near future. Hey, and like, hey, how are you doing? Are you doing okay? Like, let's catch up over supper. I try to keep it like, you know, nice to everyone else. But since I try to be nice to myself because I need to take care of myself before I help other people. But at the same time, being able to like have that capability to also have the help I can give to my future spouse to be, which is to be able to be financial literate, and at the same time, like, don't have to be too fixated about having a permanent job or something. I mean, this is something that I feel like I need to change myself, and also at the same time, I have to inhibit more of that growth mindset so that I don't have a fixed mindset.
Good. Nice. So is it clearer now after this conversation?
Yeah, it is. Like what you say, there's no such thing as a magic number, but at the same time, like, actually the magic is actually for Allah, let's be honest. Allah brings down the best of plans, and also the fact that I'm sure Allah will bring down the right jodo to everyone at the right timing. And I'll pray for all the single people out there, like, hey, don't rush the process, just enjoy the process, but at the same time, take the time to at least improve yourself better, and we would have that good impression to the jodo that you have in mind.
Yeah, definitely. So go for it, Iyad. I believe in you, and I wish you all the best. I'm rooting for you.
I mean,
thank you. Anything else you want to say before? Oh, by the way, people are asking about Bunny Beverages. Do you have an Instagram account? So does Bunny Beverages have an Instagram account? What's the Instagram account?
Okay, it's at Bunny Beverages. So it's as spelled as that without the space. So that's where you can find me.
Okay. Let me help you out. Okay, so I'm gonna write down on screen your Instagram, Bunny Beverages. So if you are from Singapore, you check out Bunny Beverages, or if you are from Malaysia, if you happen to be in Singapore, you check out Bunny Beverages. And post reviews and stuff, you know, pictures and whatnot.
Yeah, okay. I do.
So I guess that's it. It's been 45 minutes. Wow.
Subhanallah.
Time flies.
Yeah.
Right. So thank you, Iyad, for the time. And inshallah, I'll be seeing you in Singapore if I have the chance. I mean, it's been a long time, 2019, eh? Wow, it's been a long time.
Okay. Almost 4 years.
Next time. Yeah, maybe if I have an event in Singapore again, we can meet then.
Yes, please. I would love to see you again.
Come on, Convert Central, Yoda, you can invite me. Because, you know, entering Singapore to give talks is a bit complicated, right? Because you have to have permit and visa and so on. So, if somebody invites me, it's going to be much easier. I mean, it's technical. Tak apa. Okay, cool beans. See you soon. Assalamualaikum.
Wassalam. Bye.
Bye, Ed. Cool beans. That was Brother Iyad from Singapore. Yes, this chat can be international, just so you know. It doesn't have to be just Malay and Malaysian. So if you are from other countries, sure, you know, just click on the link below to schedule a free half an hour chat with me here on this channel, and I will convert this into a podcast episode soon. and you will have that as a podcast version as well. Okay, guys. Have a good night. Have a good rest. Assalamualaikum, everybody. Bye.